This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Warriors back-to-back wins, a 3-2 series lead, and they are one game away from their fourth championship in 8 years. They'll take a 3-2 series lead to Boston. Golden State wins game five, 104-94.
That's where we stand right now in the NBA Finals, and that also means I could be right. I said Warriors in six. That could happen Thursday night in Boston if the Warriors can finish the NBA Finals and they can win this championship and finish this journey, if they can do it. And I'm here to tell you, it's a wrap. That's what I'm here to tell you. Hello, everybody. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bar Scott, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. And I'm saying it out of the gate because I want to see if anybody can possibly give me a reason why I will be wrong. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Line them up, load them up, bring it. Because I'm telling you, as I said this morning on Get Up, Vince Carter was there with me, and I used his line from his famous slam dunk contest championship. That's a wrap. It's a wrap, Bart Scott. Series over.
Ah, it's over. Yeah, I mean, I tell you what. Listen, this Boston team has a lot of pride, and every time we tried to bury them, they shake the dirt out, and they step on it, and they use it to elevate themselves. We'll see what kind of grit they have, and we'll see if the others that carry Steph Curry, like you said, we knew coming off of that historic performance that he had, that his legs just weren't there, right? And I think what we saw is the younger team looking like the older team because they played 48 minutes. And you look at Tatum and you look at Brown, and that fourth quarter, they spent so much energy in that third quarter with that rally and that run that, you know, all their shots came up short. And we know when your shots come up short, that has something to do with the legs. And you look at the fatigue and the fact that, you know, you look at Kerr, he was able to steal minutes to allow his stars to kind of rest at the end of the third quarter. And even at the beginning of the fourth quarter, Brown and Tatum continued to play. And even though they're the younger team, you know, you want to say, and you talk about some of these, like the Miami Heat, you know, really take conditioning seriously. You think about, you know, the conditioning of, remember a couple of years ago, Draymond Green was a little pudgy. And what did they do? You know, even the general manager said, hey, Draymond has to get in shape. And we watched Draymond kind of transform like Luka Doncic right before our eyes as far as losing weight during the end of the season. And so, you know, you talk about that. I say all the time, you know, great shape beats tired talent every day of the week. And I think when you look at that, you know, yesterday, because Steph wasn't available to play at a high level that we're accustomed to seeing him play, you saw that the tired talent got beat when you talk about, you know, Tatum and Brown, you know, collectively as a group, and White was horrible.
Yeah, we'll get into the X's and O's of this game from last night. Obviously, again, it was 104-94, 10-point win for the Golden State Warriors in a game that had a lot of mood swings, right? It was the Celtics couldn't make a three, but they missed their first 12. Then they couldn't miss. They made eight in a row. They go down 16. Then they take a lead. Then the Warriors can't make a three for a while now. Then they start making threes and they take the lead back. It was just mood swings like crazy. I mean, it was, you talk about an emo game. That's like what this was. It's like the minute you started missing shots, you just saw the whole mood of a team just plummet. But there's so many things to get to. So X's and O's of this, we're going to talk with a current NBA coach about that coming at the bottom of the hour. Mari Stoudemire is going to join us later in the show, give us his take on what he saw last night, and if he agrees with me that I think this series, I think it's a wrap. I think you go to Boston now if you are the Celtics. I mean, the Warriors. You go to Boston if you're the Celtics and you're in desperation mode. But when you go to Boston right now as the Warriors, you have a couple of things. You have Andrew Wiggins, who is finding himself. 26 points, 13 rebounds. He led the team in both categories, and he was phenomenal with 10 points in the fourth quarter. You have Klay Thompson. I'm just going to say game six, Klay. I'm going to leave it right there because the history is already there, and he had a 21-point performance with five threes in game five. You have bench production out of Jordan Poole and Gary Payton II. You got that in this game. You expect to get more of that. Draymond Green defensively was very good. He's finally out of his head. And you don't think Draymond Green wants to go to Boston and raise the Larry O'Brien in front of those people and say, I can't hear you now. I can't hear you, right? So you know that's coming. And then on top of it, you just mentioned it. Steph Curry, for the first time in forever, in over 230 games, did not make a three-pointer in a game. That is not something you are used to seeing. It's not something he's used to seeing. And it's not something the Warriors are used to seeing. And Draymond Green, and this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Draymond Green expects that Steph, oh yeah, I mean, he'll be able to dust himself off and get back out there and shoot him. But you know he ain't happy about it.
A win is a win. Whether Steph gets 43-10-4 or whether he finishes with 16-0-7-for-22 shooting, a win is a win. And, you know, obviously we have spoke about helping him, and I don't think he's been out there helpless. Like, that's the narrative. But everybody's doing their part. And, you know, tonight, a night that he didn't have it going, we found offense elsewhere, and that's kind of what it's been. But in the same token, if he's got it going, we're going to be heavy Steph Curry. That's just what it is. So the whole notion of this guy doesn't, you know, he doesn't have help. Well, he got 43. He's going to keep shooting, and we're going to keep doing all that we can to get him shooting. So it was huge. And, you know, now that's good for us. You know, he was 0-for-9 from three. He's going to be livid going into game six, and that's exactly what we need.
And that's exactly what I expect to see, Bart Scott.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, Draymond has said that, you know, Steph has been helpless. Yeah, he pretty much has been helpless. When you think about Draymond busting out his slump, you know, you talk about the five assists, you talk about the eight rebounds, and you talk about the 8 points. Mm-hmm. He is afraid to shoot the basketball. A couple of times, he was right there. He didn't even face the basket when he had, like, an easy bunny. And, man, you talk about him on the, you know, get the great steal. No levitation, man. You're a 6'6", man. You can't do a Karl Malone dunk. Like, Williams was letting him. He was conceding the points. I just wonder if Draymond tries to be too aggressive again. And sometimes the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. The fact that, you know, Draymond hit a couple early buckets, and I think that means that Kerr stayed with him a little bit too long, because I need some offensive output. And the fact that Boston came out in the third quarter and kind of switched the narrative, and you look at, you know, they kind of flopped. They changed places, like Usher says, trading places, where, you know, for a half, the Celtics were the Warriors, and the Warriors were the Celtics in the fourth quarter. But, you know, right, they're going to get everything that Boston has. And all those tired legs that they had in Golden State won't be there because of the emotion from the crowd that carries you when, you know, you're in an environment that's pro-Celtics. And we'll see if guys like Poole can step up on the road. See, this is the beauty of it, that Steph struggled.
But tell me, because you haven't said it yet. Am I wrong or am I right? Am I wrong or am I right? Do you agree with me or not? I'm telling you, this is a team with championship DNA. It's with one of the great players of all time who understands how to close out a series. This is his moment. This is now – he's already had the signature game of this series, Steph Curry I'm talking about. Now this is for him a way to close it out. This is it. Close the book and get your finals MVP, and now tell everybody to shut it, because this now will solidify him, and he knows it, as one of the all-time greats. And he does it right there in Boston on the road and locks it up. So that's why I believe they're going to win the series on Thursday night. Do you agree with me or not?
I do.
Man, you're hesitant.
I'm hesitant about it.
How are you hesitating?
Only because, like you said, history shows us that Game 6 Klay will be arriving. If they if they have fully Batman and Robin,
mm-hmm. And Wiggins.
Yeah,
and Wiggins. Batman, Robin, and who? What would Wiggins be?
Alfred. I don't want to call him Catwoman. That'd be disrespectful.
I'd go Wonder Twins and Gleek.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to call him that. But, you know.
No, I'm just saying. I can't think of anything else. Who's the third piece?
Yeah, Poole. Yeah,
maybe that. Maybe it's Justice. Yeah, the Hall of Justice. We'll throw Aquaman in there or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Poole cannot be. Well, okay. Well, we could say Incredible Hulk. We can go Thor. And then we can say, like, Ant-Man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? No. He's better than Ant-Man. So, no, I'll probably say call him Iron Man. And then Spider-Man is Jordan Poole, who is so immature. Just because it's a two-for-one opportunity, don't mean you got to jack up some bull crap.
He's got to be so hard.
He's starting to feel – he be feeling himself a little bit, man.
I'm
like, bro.
Right now. Poole, to me, like, he's got to be so frustrating to coach.
Yes, to coach.
Because
the talent's there, but he thinks he's so much better than what he is. And, like, sometimes he just jack up some bull crap. And you're like, bro, if Steph didn't need to rest right now, we'll yank the hell, boy. But I tell you what, Gary Payton, man, at 6'3", his activity and his strength.
That's been huge, the motor.
When you look at how Tatum tries to back him down, he's moving nowhere. That little arm bar ain't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. And then he's got them long like Dazzum arms from Street Fighter, where like he's reaching around and swiping at the ball from the other side as he's defending you and stopping you from the middle. You know, listen, this is going to be a hell of a game. But I think if the experience and anybody there gets tight, if White and Grant Williams can't come to the party,
mm-hmm.
finito. I mean,
it's always going to be about that too.
But they're going to go back and say, we got open shots. We hit them in the second half. We miss them in the first half. We can have one of those dead games like game one where we're hitting in both halves, then it's going to be tough for the Warriors to win.
It may be, but you're saying that while also saying Steph Curry missed 9 threes, and that you don't expect to happen either. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's Straight Talk by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So the Warriors are up 3-2 now with a game 6 waiting in Boston tomorrow night. Full coverage, of course, the NBA on ESPN Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern. It begins in the TV side. It's ABC. We got the Stanley Cup Final and the NBA Finals on back-to-back nights on ABC. How about that?
Hey, man.
Like, you talk about, like, most – the rest of this week is just lock it in. And you've got, obviously, championship sport to watch over the next – couple of nights. But coming up in 30 seconds, let's get on the Celtics side of things here, because Jason Tatum, we thought, was looking for a seat at the table, and he has had some pelts on the wall in this run to the finals. But is that seat about to be taken away? We'll discuss that in 30 seconds. But first, Bart, tell us about Cheerios.
If you're on the go, you might be skipping eating the healthy way, which is probably making you feel a little bit sluggish these days. Well, as a reminder, a friendly reminder, you can fuel life's special moments with heart-healthy Honey Nut Cheerios. Made with whole grains and low in fat, Cheerios also provides 12 essential vitamins and minerals, so pour your heart into it today. It's all so important. Pick up a box of Honey Nut Cheerios today at your local grocery store, maybe even 7-Eleven. Oops, that's a free plug. My bad.
What?
Out to the corner, Thompson, one dribble, fires for three, and crushes it from outside. That could be the dagger.
We have a chance. We got two cracks at getting one win.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It feels good, but we haven't done anything yet.
Not yet, but they're one game away from getting it done. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We're coming to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Looky, people want to tell me I'm wrong. I'll get to your calls. We'll get to you in a moment. But, Bart, Jason Tatum went for 27-10. Sounds like a good game. Fourth quarter, though, 1-for-5. You referenced it. Seemed like he and Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown really had a hard time once he dribbled into the paint. The way that – you got to credit the Warriors' defense, in my opinion.
Where's my, what's my boy name? What's my name? Baja? Bahukiha?
Belicia?
Yeah, son.
That's your guy. He didn't really have a huge impact in this game. But – and then Tatum, 1-for-5, one turnover. So Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart, which you would consider that's their big three, right? That's their main three pieces. They are averaging almost 10 turnovers a game as a trio.
Yeah.
And turnovers have been the big story of this series, because you got to look at it. 22 points off of 18 turnovers the Warriors scored. You can't give 20 points away in turnovers to a team like the Warriors. So that's been a problem. But Tatum was a guy that we have been waiting to have his big game. And in the finals, he hasn't had that. And really, if you think about it, it's been a month since he's had a big game. That game 6, where he went for 46 against Giannis and the Bucks to win and forced a game 7, that's a month ago. And that was a game we all talked about, and that's when we started saying, okay, seat at the table. So I'm wondering, Bart, if they bow out, and they lose in 6, and they lose on their home floor like I expect to happen, do we have to stop right now and just, you know, Jason Tatum's not ready for that seat at the table?
I mean, you have to ask yourself, did we present maybe the wrong table to the wrong person? Because if the Celtics come back and pull up the upset, then should Jaylen Brown get a seat at the table?
Well, I would say Jaylen Brown should be the leader among Celtic players who should get Finals MVP.
Yeah, because this is the first game where he didn't show up.
Yeah,
right.
He struggled mightily, but that's
what happens when you get into the fifth game traveling across, you know, country all the way. That's five,
Man,
six
don't,
hours
don't
in the
fatigue.
Air.
Don't
no,
give me
bro,
fatigue.
bro. I'm just telling you how it works. Wow. You know what I mean? You talk about the dehydration. And remember, we heard the Rangers talk about it. Man, we just couldn't catch our breath. We couldn't get our rest.
That's the first experience, though, when you go this far. When a team like this,
muscle
who's
memory.
Never been this far, I feel like that's – you can definitely say that stuff when it's over. Like the Rangers. The Rangers had no idea just how hard, how much conditioning you need, how to handle things when
your body's
you get that
never
far
went
because
there
it's a grind.
It's like when you train for a mile every day and coach says, okay, today we're going to run two. Your body going to be like, whoa.
We know
how to run one. Like two, your body like, what's this, bro? Like what? So like it's one of those things, fatigue. That's part of it. And you don't know that you don't know, but you try and steal wins. And pretty much yesterday was the Golden State Warriors stealing a win. Because Wiggins doesn't know what it feels like to be that way. Poole doesn't know what it feels to be that far. Like Gary Payton Jr. was able to actually benefit from being injured. So now he kind of has fresh legs and he can be that lively player for them. You got Robert Williams, his knees flaring up probably every day. So these guys with the intensity that they play with and how short their rotation is. You look yesterday, you talk about Iguodala getting in. You talk about my guy Baja getting in. I just want to call him a chalupa. Anyway, you talk about Baja getting in. You talk about playing Poole.
Belichick only played 5 minutes, and most of it was
But it don't matter.
Iguodala only played 4 minutes.
But that's a 10-person rotation. That's still in minutes, fresh legs. Fatigue becomes an issue, right? So those guys, Wiggins can get the necessary rest so he can play at a high level. He's never been here before either. But he gets the proper rest, the rest that his body has been conditioned to get the entire year. Where Adoga's playing this tight rotation where he's only playing, he's not going. Tice isn't playing, right? He might play Pritchard a little bit.
First of all, Wiggins played 43 minutes in this game out of 48. The Warriors played eight guys for the most. The rotation for them was eight guys, the rotation for the Celtics was seven. Derek White and Grant Williams really got them. I mean, Pritchard played like 5 minutes, didn't play a ton. So, I mean, you're going to go with your main guys for the most part in this thing. But the experience part with what you're saying, that's the part I agree with. The experience part of how to manage, how to get this far. When you're on a team with guys who have been there, done that, it's a lot easier to learn it than when you're on a team where nobody's ever been there before and you really don't know how to handle it. Let's grab some calls here, though. We got an NBA coach joining us. Chris Finch going to join us from the Timberwolves. Bottom of the hour, going to get into some of the X's and O's and how you manage things and what to look forward to in Game 6. That'll be coming up shortly. But people want to tell me why I'm wrong about what I just said. As I said it on Get Up this morning as well. And I can tell Bart is stammering. He's not quite ready to commit fully to tell me I'm wrong. But I feel like the series is over. So let's begin. We go to Jake in Minnesota to start us off. Jake.
All right, Jake here from Duluth, Minnesota. I got three big reasons why you're wrong that this is not a wrap.
Go ahead.
All right, and I'm a big-time Warriors fan. Reason number one is the TD Ameritrade Garden and those Celtics fans. And we already know, after flying back the last time for the first game in Boston, we pretty much folded like little babies on the floor. Well, they ate boards off the glass like some kind of monster that comes into your bedroom at night and scares you till you pee your pants. All right, we pretty much went non-existent. All right, for two, the Celtics, previously, I don't know if you forget, but just about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they had their backs against the wall the same way against the former champs, the Milwaukee Bucks. They were down 3-2. And what did they do? They came back, they tied it up 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
They brought that thing back to Game 7. They won it, and that's why they're here in the finals right now. So this group, although young, they have the experience to do this. All right? Mm-hmm. So don't be jinxing us saying this is a wrap.
See, now you reveal it. See, that's Jake. Now you revealed it.
Yeah, jinx, double jinx.
It was all about a jinx. That's
outrageous.
All you're worried about. Like he's trying to pull all kinds of reasons out about, out-rebounded us and all this. Man, Jake, it's okay. It's going to be all right. Okay, it's going to be all right. Let's try another one. Kendall's in Jersey. Kendall, why am I wrong?
You're wrong for a couple reasons, but Jake hit on a lot of them. One being that I don't think they're going to close that out in TD Garden. Be nice for the Warriors, but I don't see it happening. Two, White had a horrible game. I don't think that's going to happen again. Three, I think they're going to clean up on most of the turnovers that are mostly self-inflicted.
Whoa. Kendall, let me stop you there because you gave me reasons, include one, your opinion. Two, Derek White is not going to miss shots. Well, is Steph Curry going to miss shots? Because we know he's not going to miss shots. So that's your other one. And what was your third one again? Because that one also went over my head. What was that one?
Jason Tatum, you know, he didn't have the game that we suspected.
He has it. Oh, no, that's right. You said turnovers. No. Your third thought, Kendall, was that the turnovers, that they'll clean it up. You realize that they're averaging 18 turnovers a game in the entire series? I mean, if they haven't cleaned it up by now, are they going to? What are they going to do, play slower? When are we going to credit what the Warriors are doing defensively?
Yeah, man. That on the ball pressure with Wiggins, his athleticism, his length, Baja, and you got, surprisingly,
really,
like, listen, you told me how important Gary Payton Jr. was.
Yeah.
Him being at 6'3", I didn't think that he would have the effect. I didn't think they would put a
6'3
guy. Yeah, I didn't think they would put a 6'3 guy on Jason Tatum, who's 6'10", and him be effective.
Bart, as we're learning, people shouldn't try me today. Don't try me today. I'm telling you right now, this series is a wrap. All right, but let's get into the X's. Yes, let's get into the X's and O's, however, what we saw last night and what to expect in Game 6. We'll get Chris Finch, the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, joining us next. Also got to ask him about Anthony Edwards. Is acting part of his future?
He said he can do everything. He said he can do everything.
Apparently. We'll discuss that and more. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Hi, it's Bart Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So the Warriors take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals against the Boston Celtics. They do so with a pretty convincing, not third quarter, this time fourth quarter, a 104-94 win over a Celtics team that definitely looked like they were dragging. They were tired by the end of that game. There's a lot to break down off this game, including what Andrew Wiggins has done. Watching Steph Curry miss every three he took was, you know, a stunner, of course. And just how do the Celtics work their way out of so many turnovers to do that? Let's go to a head coach in the NBA. Chris Finch, the Timberwolves head coach, led them to 46 wins this year. Into the playoffs they went. A great first-round experience they had with the Memphis Grizzlies. He joins us right now. Chris, how are we doing?
I'm great, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
No, it's good to have you on. Before we even get into the final stuff, I do have to ask you, though. I watched Hustle. Anthony Edwards. Were you shocked, or were you like, no, that's who he is? I thought he was terrific.
I haven't seen the movie yet. I've heard enough about it. I will probably get down to watching it this weekend. But, that's who he is, Ben. Someone told me the other day he put himself in a list of top five greatest players. So I said, yeah, that sounds about right.
Listen, how do you harness that? Because this is a guy that's loquacious. This is a guy that has tremendous belief in himself. And I think the basketball fans, Allen included, are starting to realize that. Because I was a fan from day one. But he had to win Allen over. And I think just what he did in the playoffs and kind of putting it on display when it kind of the most he showed that he was clutch as well. Like, when you guys picked him, did you imagine that he would have this much success this early?
Well, of course, they certainly hoped so. They believed in all the upside that was there and just the strength and character of the young man. To answer your question, how do you harness it? You don't really harness it. You don't want to get in the way of that type of confidence because when you're around him, you realize that he's very mature in a lot of ways. He understands who he is. He understands who he's not. He understands where he is in this game right now, but he believes he's going to get to the places that he talks about going. So that's why he speaks it now. A lot of guys will talk big and it hides insecurity. Or it hides some sort of nervousness about, what they really will become. Anthony has none of that. He is, he is as raw as it gets and as real as it gets. What you do have to help him is form a foundation of how do we get there? Do we have the right habits? Do we have the right approach? Are we about the right things? And that's been a fun process, as it is with any young player.
It's something you talked about at the end of your season, too, baked into the DNA. It's something that you're trying to now, with the culture there, get to places that you're seeing, like the Boston Celtics, a perfect example of a team that's kind of been through a lot getting there. The Warriors, another great example of a team that has been built over time and has become a juggernaut. And just one last take on this movie. You can relate to it.
Yeah.
Trust me, you will relate to it, not because of your player in it having a prominent role and doing a great job with it, but because no, hey Bart, listen to this. Chris Finch coached in England, in Germany, in Belgium, in the G League. Like, you're talking about a lot of different outposts to get his way to where he is right now. And the main character, Adam Sandler's character in this movie, you'll be able to relate to very well, Chris. So I'll just leave it right there. But when it comes to the NBA Finals, there's not, to me, not enough being said about what the Warriors are doing defensively to cause what is 18 turnovers a game now for the Celtics. What do you see that they are doing, and what adjustments have you seen Steve Kerr make for them to have the success they've been having in keeping Tatum from dominating the series?
Well, I think let's give credit where credit due. They've always been a great defense. Like, they don't get even when they're mentioned as having the number one or number two defense in the league, they still don't get enough credit. I mean, what the best thing about their defense is that they're so intelligent and they can change and give you so many different looks within the course of a game. I remember when I was with Houston, we had James Harden, you know, it was always something different all the time and kept us off balance. And so that when you have a core that's been together and you have a core with a high basketball IQ, and that core is led certainly by one of the league's best defenders in Draymond Green, you have a chance to have a great defense. And, you know, defense for me starts on the ball. They do a great job of getting in the ball and directing it where it wants to go. And somehow they cover all the ground and they contest every single shot. Like, shots are not hard. And they're funneling you into traffic. And at that point, there's always guys there. They know that they don't have great size at the rim. So if you don't have great size at the rim, you got to be really good at the point of attack. And that means on the ball and the guy next to the ball. And that's where you're seeing these turnovers. The Celtics are trying to force the ball into small spaces. And it's really hard to play in those spaces against a very active team.
You know, we talk a lot about their core, and they've been together, and they built this thing together, the core of this group. What type of relationship, and what does it say about the relationship between Kerr and his core, the fact that he can take Draymond and say, you know, in game four,
yeah,
you know, you're hurting the team, you know, we still going to come back to you, be ready, you know, but I got to sit you down and get more offense out there. Like, what does that say about the relationship, and what type of conversations do you need to have either during the game or after the game to take a prideful player off the court, a guy that's been there for three championships?
Well, it starts with great trust. You know, having been together, like, all these relationships are built on great trust. Trust that you have the best interest of the team at heart, and trust that you have the best interest of the individual at heart, and trust that you're going to hold everybody accountable in the right center at the right time. I think the Warriors have built a culture where that's clearly on display when the stakes matter the most. You know, I don't really know what the nature of the dialogue between Draymond and Steve would be, but I would bet it's not a whole lot. You know, it's not like we're making some seismic shift away from Draymond and said, hey, at this moment in time, we decided to do something else. It worked out. Your opportunities to help us are still numerous down the road. And, you know, look at the way he bounced back last night, you know, had a typical Draymond performance. In what is, you know, often the most pivotal game in these series.
It's Barton Hahn. We're talking with Minnesota Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch on the NBA Finals, the game last night where the Warriors come out with the win and now a 3-2 series lead, a chance to win the championship on Thursday night, Game 6 in Boston. With both of these teams, Chris, we have seen – we keep talking culture. That's a big word in the sport. And I feel like they kind of – like I said at the beginning of the series, if I'm the Celtics, I want to be looking at my future because they're built very much the same. It's just the timelines are different. And the Warriors could even be looking at their past. Like, that's who we were when you consider homegrown talent, drafted players, developed, had to lose before they won, all those things. So with that in mind, and you're trying to build something in Minnesota with that team, with some young players, and we just mentioned Anthony Edwards, what is the element you might take from looking at these two franchises and seeing the success they've been able to build on? Is there something you as a coach are watching and saying, I got to get a piece of that. I got to bring that to my team.
Yeah, I think, you know, you guys have nailed it. To build these types of successful teams or dynasties or what have you, certainly not easy. A lot of things go into it. But first and foremost, it just takes time. I mean, the difference between a 19 to 20-year-old player playing in the league to a 27 and a 28-year-old player is just incredible, from experience to strength to understanding to all the things that go into what they will, you know, what makes them a good player and how well they develop over that period of time is huge. So it takes time. Like, the path to success is not a linear one. Not everybody's path follows the same trajectory. You might have to step back. You might have a quick acceleration and then a plateau, or you may look what Milwaukee had to do. They were there and they tried. And then all of a sudden, with the roughly the same core, it's Drew Holiday, which is the missing piece. So there's lots of little different ways to do it, but it takes time. It takes an understanding that there's not always a linear path. And then the final thing is you got to have two-way players with a super high care factor. And it sounds crazy, but, you know, I think sometimes we give guys a little bit of too much of a pass to only play one side of the floor, and you don't see that. If you want to play at the highest levels, championship-level basketball, you have to be able to guard your position, and you've got to be able to contribute offensively.
Yeah, and of course, as you know, as a coach, everybody has plenty of patience around the NBA, as you know.
You hear that, Luka Doncic? I tell you what, from basketball fans all around, Coach, I'm happy that you were able to get the extension so that you can get the opportunity to let this marinate and let this stew kind of come together. And we're excited to see where the Timberwolves go next.
Yes, and I'd love to get your
– Yeah, we have an exciting young team here, and we'll hopefully keep building on it.
Yeah, I'd love to get your movie review, too, at the end. I think it might be relatable to you in a different way. Chris, thanks so much for the time. All the best.
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Have a good one. Thanks.
All right, you got it. Chris Finch, Minnesota Timberwolves head coach. Again, you always try to steal something from teams and their success. And what he was talking about, that embodies Andrew Wiggins, who was a Timberwolf. Now, before Finch was there, of course, he was traded away. But Wiggins is a player that you could say exactly that, turned into a two-way player, an effective one, and has been a difference maker. And is a reason why, Bart, I am saying this series is over. The Warriors are going to win Thursday, and they're going to win the championship. Tell me why I'm wrong. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get to those calls coming up. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Yeah, boy. I think Flav just had another kid. Flav just had another kid, son. Talk about living a life. Shooting up the club at like 60.
Terminator X, just let this thing roll. Get yourself fired up. This is definitely on the workout mix. Spartan Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Chris Finch was good. I enjoyed talking with him. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And now we want to talk to you because we need to know why you think I'm wrong. Because I believe this series is done. I think the Warriors will close this thing out in six games. It'll be Thursday in Boston. Redemption for Draymond. Steph Curry not going to miss 9 threes again. It's game 6 for Klay. Say no more. Andrew Wiggins has been great. Like, I just feel like they have got this done. Andre in Michigan, you disagree. Tell me why.
The reason why you are wrong, Hahn, and how you guys doing, three things. Number one, Andrew Wiggins played a game on this last night. That will never happen again. Number two, turnovers. Every time the Boston has the Celtics have 16 turnovers or more, we lose.
Yep.
And number three, and more importantly, Jason Tatum will come out of the slump, and plus the Celtics have been in a position twice, down 3-2, okay, and we will win both games, period, lock it, it's a wrap.
Okay.
So here's a couple things.
Everybody's using the same one. Go ahead, Bart.
Jason Tatum's going to come out of his slump. He didn't have a slump. He had one of his best games. You talked about Wiggins. This is more the norm, what we've seen. Yeah, we understand the rebound.
He's had 29 rebounds in two games.
Yeah, but so this isn't like admiration. This is kind of what he's been this series. He's been like one of the better players in this series. And then, two, like, you can't keep going on revisionist history talking about, okay, this happened before. The same thing make you laugh, make you cry. Just because it happened before doesn't mean, like, it's going to automatically happen now. Oh, well, they did this before. They're going to repeat it. No, it's more pressure. This ain't Giannis. This is a team that spreads the ball, which is harder when you're going against a team where they can hurt you from different areas than a singular talent like Giannis dominating the basketball. That's the problem. Like, who do you take away?
That's my point. Andrew Wiggins has
10K Wiggins. Okay, Poole may go off.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But my point is like when you add Wiggins to the equation as a guy that can get to the rack and score, and not only do that, but also rebound, which the way he's suddenly just starting to rebound over the last couple of games, when you add that along with Clay, along with what Poole can give you off the bench at times, although he's maddening, and then we know Steph Curry's not going 0-for-9. Can we all just say we agree that Steph Curry will make a three in this game? The turnovers have been an issue the entire playoffs. To tell me that's going to change, you got to come up with a better plan. We'll continue with your calls next.
Bart and Han.
Come on, Bart.
Life is too short. Would you agree?
You got DJ Matlack on the ones and
twos
today.
Don't mess with me. It's been a long time, baby, since I first got down, but I still keep rapping these funky sounds.
It's Bart and Han, Alan Hall, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Golden State wins last night, and they go to game six in Boston with a chance to raise the Larry O'Brien. And it can be the fourth, could be their fourth title in 8 years. And I'm here to tell you, they're going to get it done on Thursday night. I just believe this series is over. And a lot of people are trying to call and give me reasons why I'm wrong. But there's also people calling in give me reasons why I'm right. And John from Long Island is one of them. Go ahead, John.
Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Good.
Like I said, I completely agree with what you're saying. I mean, they lost that game. They look completely deflated in the fourth quarter. The Warriors are looking like, you know, the more experienced team. Like you said, Curry's not going to shoot 0-for-9 from three again. Mm-hmm. Wiggins shot 0-for-6 from three. It's just not going to happen again. And I think there's a real case, you know, for Wiggins for MVP too. Is another point I want.
Ooh, let's not go crazy now. Steph has been the best player in every game except for one.
Wiggins has another big game,
no.
And Steph goes completely like off
no.
the rail, like just terrible game
Steph
again.
Steph still gave you three great games. Gave you three great games.
That's a good
he
point.
Carried
and
them.
A signature game. That's true. Thank you, John. Yeah,
and stop it. Stop it.
But I'll tell you what. So Brendan in L.A. kind of feels the same way about this. Brendan.
All right, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, yeah, so I was agreeing with the last caller because if you really look at Andrew Wiggins, he takes him out versus Boston. Andrew Wiggins is averaging almost 25 at least, or 20. And then for rebounds, too, you take out Andrew Wiggins out of this whole playoff series. I don't even think the Warriors were the guy here, if we're being real. Because Andrew Wiggins plays almost the most minutes, 40 minutes to 35 to 45. Mm-hmm. He plays all these minutes, and, you know, he doesn't complain about fouls. He hustles. He helps on everything on defense. So if you ask me, the real big piece of this Warriors and their run is Andrew Wiggins. And like you said, Han, if he has another big game, game six goes for, you know, maybe 20, 25 with 10 boards, in my opinion, Andrew Wiggins to win MVP.
He's the unsung hero for the length of these playoffs. Like, the MVP ain't just about the finals. It's about the playoffs.
Well, it is.
Let's keep it real.
Andrew Wiggins is averaging 18 points a game, though, in the finals. He's not averaging over 25. He's averaging 18 points a game in the playoffs. But he is averaging almost 10 rebounds a game.
Steph got 10 rebounds. What are we talking about? Like
Steph's averaging just under 6 rebounds a game.
Yeah,
he's averaging 30 a game, though.
And 30 a game.
That's got to 30 a game in the finals, bro.
With a bad game. With
what
a
kind
bad
of
game.
Chamberlain, like what kind of 30 a game in the NBA finals? Can we just think about that for a moment?
And they slip it up.
There's 6 games in, 5 games in, and he's averaging 30 a game in the NBA finals. And we're trying to act like this guy's not an all-time great.
Right.
Come on, man.
Let's not talk about also
42%
on
from
the
three.
Ball defense. Damn. Which is, I feel, is underrated. He hasn't been a liability.
No, he has none of it. And they've been targeting him. You're absolutely right, Bart. They've been targeting him, and he's held up. Have they gotten taken advantage of him a couple of times? Yes. But he's held up.
Yeah. How many times has he taken advantage of them?
Let me repeat this. He's averaging 30 a game in the finals, and he's shooting 42% from three, and he just had an 0-for-9.
42%.
He's shooting 42% from three. He had an 0-for-9.
That means he was shooting 50%.
Damn.
With the pushes in the back.
ESPN Radio, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. Bundle today at progressive.com. So I'm standing on this. I believe in it. I'm anchored in. I think the series is over Thursday night. Of course it'll be a good game. I hope it is. Bart's kind of hesitant to agree with me. Can I get Amari Stoudemire to agree with me that it's a wrap Thursday night? We'll discuss next. Bart and Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.